Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we love you and we thank you just for the truth that we don't have any understanding unless you come and enlighten our eyes and our hearts and our minds. And Lord, we just we come to you as children. We come to you weak this morning, but knowing that you'll lead us, you'll teach us, you'll speak to us in a way that we can understand. And so we ask you today for eyes to see, ears to hear, for minds and hearts that can understand. Lord, we want to know you. We want to know your ways. Lord, we want you to open up the scriptures to us this morning. Lord, we want you to renew our minds. Lord, we want to be transformed from one degree of glory to another into the image of Jesus. And we thank you that you're here, not because of any work that we've done on our own, but because of your faithfulness, because of the sacrifice of your son Jesus, because of your love for us, because of your desire to have a radiant bride for Jesus. And so we love you, and we just ask that you would come and help us this morning to understand, to know, to see, to hear. Lord, we want to come away from this time loving you more and being more wholehearted in our devotion to you. So help us today, Holy Spirit. We receive your work and your word to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in the middle of a six-part series on the Holy Spirit. And like I said last week, if there's any questions that you have at any point, please come and see me or Tim or Jen or Mandy after the service. We have a history here. We've been, coming to this church 24 years, I think. But we have a long history in our story, we've had to wrestle through a number of these things and really own them for ourselves. And so we're not threatened, we're not offended by anyway saying, I'm not quite sure about what you're saying here. Could you help me understand? And not only that, but it helps me as well. So where if I realize I'm trying to communicate something, but it's not getting through, I need to know that as well. So by all means, feel free to see us with any questions in this area or any other as well. But for the first week, we looked at the person of the Holy Spirit, which is so foundational because we oftentimes view the Holy Spirit as a vapor or a force or a feeling. And the Holy Spirit's a person, which means the foundation of this entire study has its basis in relationship. The Holy Spirit has a mind, he has emotions, he has a will. He's a person. He wants us to relate to him, which changes it from just trying to, you know, like the prophets of Baal, trying to coerce something to happen. We have a relationship with this person. We know him. We know his will. We know his mind. We know his emotions. He knows us. He's, as Jesus said, he's alongside us. He's in us. He's with us. He's teaching us. He's leading us. We move with him in relationship. And then the second week, we looked at the work of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus said, listen, it's for your good that I leave, that the Holy Spirit comes, because he's going to be to you just like I am to my disciples, and I'm going to be there with you. And last week, we looked at the power of the Holy Spirit, which is really profound, because even as I was studying it this last time getting ready, I realized, you know, for the early church, the idea that you would be saved but not filled with the Holy Spirit was completely outside of their context and their paradigm. But they desired not only that you be converted, but that you be filled with the Holy Spirit as well. And this week, we're going to start the second half, and we're going to take 3 weeks and go through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He wants to give you power. He wants to lead you and teach you. He wants to be with you and dwell in you. And he has gifts for you. Doesn't that excite you? When you hear that somebody says, oh, I got you a gift. Even if you don't know what it is, even if it's not your birthday or any special occasion, there's something inside you that says, there's a gift for me. You get a little excited. The Holy Spirit has gifts for his people, for his church. And we're gonna talk about it. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's the big ones, the ones that we wrestle with the most. But we're gonna talk today about prophecy. Next week we're gonna get into healing and then finally tongues. Because there's a lot of overlap with these two, with these as well, to where, you know, if we can settle our understanding with prophecy, then suddenly things like words of wisdom or words of knowledge aren't that big of a deal. If we can settle ourselves on the idea of the gifts of healing and gifts of faith and gifts of miracles, we can roll with those as well. And so I'm going to tackle these ones to where there's always some sort of perhaps maybe knee-jerk reaction. As soon as you use these words, people get a little nervous. But I'm hoping by the end of these 3 weeks, we can, in a sense, demystify a lot of this, and we can understand that these are good gifts from the Holy Spirit, and they're for us, and He desires good things for us. So let's get started. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. And why do we study the gifts of the Holy Spirit? We're going to spend a lot of our time bouncing around 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. There's a number of things here, if you read through it, it's kind of scattered, but I'm going to try and move it walk through it in a way that flows. But Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. If you know anything about the church in Corinth, it was a mess. Paul doesn't say, all right, look at this mess. You know what? Let's just lay spiritual gifts aside. Let's not talk about them. Let's not focus on them. No, he says, I want you to be informed about them. I want you to have a biblical knowledge of what these gifts are and how they're used. That's part of his remedy. I've shared with you before, but I grew up in a Southern Baptist tradition, and I know that varies depending on from church to church, but what I was led or how I was taught was that we believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has gifts, and here's a nice, neat outline of these gifts from the Bible, very biblically based, to their credit. But at the same time, there is this fear. They were kept at arm's length, because watch out, because Jesus warns about false prophets. Or watch out, because Jesus said at the end of the age, someone's come and say, Lord, we prophesied in your name, and he'd say, I never knew you, right? And so it was kind of like this scary thing, but it was there, but it was scary. But it was there, but you better be careful. And so you're kind of left with this idea that the Holy Spirit would just come upon me, grip me, I'd just start prophesying, and I'd better hope it was right or else. Who wants to prophesy? But Paul says, no, I want you to be informed about what these things are and how they work. Wayne Grudem says, you know, he says, probably in the spectrum of believers, you have on the one hand, you have cessationists who say, no, the gifts of the Spirit, they're done away with, they were just for the early church. And then the other end, you've got charismatics who are like, gifts are everything. And then you have this middle group that says, I believe that there's something more going on here, but I don't want to get into some of this stuff that I don't understand. It's just weird. Let's be honest. Some of this stuff just looks strange. But Paul says, I want you to be informed about the gifts. I want you to learn about these things. I want you to understand. Some of you may, if not personally, or maybe you know of somebody who has experienced abuse from the gifts. And for that, as a person in ministry, I want to say I'm so sorry. The gifts were meant to serve. Part of our healing has to understand the difference between the gift and how that gift was used. How that gift was used, if it was used in an inappropriate way, does not neglect the fact that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And it was given to us by the Holy Spirit. So Paul actually desires that we understand these gifts, that we look into them, that we are informed on how they work. So let's tackle another big thing before we dive deeper into prophecy. And that's the question, but are the gifts for today? This is a debate in the church. And if you've been here any length of time, and obviously if we're talking about them, you can understand that we believe, yes, they are for today, but here's why. First off, when at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes on the church, tongues of fire, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, they begin to speak in tongues and prophesy. And some people look at the disciples there and they say, they're all drunk. And Peter stands up and says, no, they're not drunk. This is fulfillment of the Old Testament prophet Joel, when he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit and your sons and daughters will prophesy. So we need to understand that prophecy is one of the features that marks the sons and daughters of God in the last days. But if prophecy ceased with the early church, then Joel and Peter got it wrong. And it really wasn't the last days. They were the next to last days, and these are the last days. But the reality is, these are the last days, and the gift of prophecy should mark the sons and daughters of God because he's poured out his spirit on all flesh. Not only that, let's look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is where a lot of the cessationist arguments come from. But Paul writes this, "As for prophecies, they will pass away." Oh. "As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away." So perhaps if that was all that Paul said, you could say that now that we have the full counsel of God, nothing's added to the word, nothing's taken away. Now that we have this, now that we have the fullness, we don't need prophecy anymore. But that's not all that Paul says. Paul goes on, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face." Have we seen face to face yet? No, we haven't. "Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully." Did Paul know in part, but we know fully? Have we surpassed Paul in revelation? Remember, this is Paul who was taken up to the third heaven and received revelation so great he couldn't even talk about it. Perhaps there's still a need for prophecy. "Then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." Do we fully know as we are fully known? The answer is no, we don't. We still need this ministry of prophecy. It's seeing through a mirror dimly. It's seeing in part, but it's a gift to the church to help us see in part so that when the fullness comes, then it will be done away with. But one more thing as far as why the gifts are for today. Excuse me, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes this, "Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to do this, to equip the saints for work of ministry." Does anybody here still need equipping? Anyone at all? A few of you? Good. Okay. So you still need these things for building up the body of Christ. Does the body of Christ still need to be built up? Yes. Yes, it does. Good. Okay. "Until we all attain to the unity of the faith." Have we reached the unity of the faith yet? No. Have we reached unity of the knowledge of the Son of God yet? No. Are we fully mature? Have we come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? No. So we still need these things until the fullness comes. The gifts are gifts to the church to do all this work. A very close friend of mine who helped me just sort of formulate a lot of these ideas said this. He said, "God's given us a task to do. It's all this, right?" I'm known in my house to where if I get started in a project and I realize I don't have the right tool, I say, "Well, I could try and make it work with another tool that was never meant to do that job." And so 9.9 times out of 10, I end up breaking something, taking longer with it, and end up having to call in a professional for it. But this friend of mine, he said, "Listen, God has given us tools to accomplish a certain job. But if we aren't willing to use the tools he's given us, we won't get the job done." God has given us the gifts of his Spirit to accomplish maturity in the body of Christ, that we might all come into the fullness of the stature of Christ, that church might be built up and equipped, that we might come into unity of the faith and unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. Holy Spirit has gifts for you. Are you excited yet? That's what he wants to do. That's why these gifts are a good thing, and that's why we need to distinguish between the people who use the gifts in ways that are abusive. That angers me just as much as it does any of you, because it makes a mockery of the great things God wants to do. But we need to understand, and be informed, as Paul says, about these things, because this is what's at stake for the church. All right. So the gift of prophecy, I want to make some distinctions, because sometimes we get a little edgy on that word prophecy. Excuse me. But there is a difference between the role of the Old Testament prophet and the gift of prophecy. And it's important that we understand that before we move forward, that the Old Testament prophets spoke the very words of God. They could say, "Thus saith the Lord," open quote, and everything that they said was a direct quote from God. The New Testament, that authority, the New Testament was written by apostles. The authority of the Scriptures rests on the apostles, not on what's listed in the New Testament as prophets. And we hear Peter endorsing Paul's writings of Scriptures at the end of 1 Corinthians 14. Paul says, listen, you'll know that what my teachings here, they are the commands of God. It was on the apostles. And in Ephesians 2:20, Paul writes this. He's speaking of the church, not as a building like this, but you and I, we're living stones, part of the building. But the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Wayne Grudem points out that he says it could be read apostles hyphen prophets, or apostles who are the prophets, with Christ Jesus, the Word of God Himself, being the cornerstone that joins these two together. This is our foundation. The foundation is the Word of God. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken away from it. And the best way I know how to describe the distinction here is, you know, I've heard people in construction say, foundation's crooked, the whole building's crooked. Why? Because the whole building reflects its foundation. We're not going to add any more to this foundation, we're not going to take any away, but the foundation influences the entire building. The foundation actually judges which way the building will go. This is our foundation, and it judges every part of our lives. It judges how I treat my wife. It judges how I go to work. It judges how I treat one of you. It judges how I manage my finances. It judges every word I speak. So when we talk about the gift of prophecy, we're not adding to our foundation. That was the apostles and the Old Testament prophets. But every word I speak must come into agreement with this foundation. And so the gift of prophecy, it's reflective of our prophetic apostolic foundation, but it doesn't add to it. Does that make sense? And so Jesus, the Word of God, joins the two. In Acts, we see that the disciples, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, but there are those who prophesied who did not carry the same authority. So in Acts chapter 21, there's this prophet named Agabus. And he comes into this gathering, and Paul's there, and he takes Paul's belt, and he binds his hands and his feet. And he says, in the same manner, the owner of this belt is going to be taken captive and handed over to the Romans and put in prison. Now, by Old Testament standards, this prophet missed it big time, because what actually happened was the Jews were getting ready to kill Paul, and the Romans came in and rescued him by arresting him, taking him away. He was never handed over, but the prophet got this vision, got this picture of something that was going to take place. When he got that picture, the church around him said, "Paul, you shouldn't go to Jerusalem." But the apostle, Paul, said, "No, I need to go," because he understood the clarity of that prophetic word. And he actually went against it, even though everybody around him was saying, "Don't go, don't go." What Paul was seeing was understanding what the Spirit was saying. We're letting you know there's trouble coming. You need to be ready for it. You as a church need to pray for your own hearts and for my heart that I'm ready to face this trouble that's coming. But it's the will of the Lord that I go. And so, again, understanding this gift of prophecy, it does not carry the same authority as the Word of God. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt." In other words, if you receive a prophetic word, receive. Don't treat it with contempt. Don't dismiss it. But here's what you're supposed to do with it. Hold on to, test them all. Hold on to what is good, and reject every kind of evil. If the gift of prophecy was just carried the same authority as the Word of God, Paul shouldn't be writing this. But the gift of prophecy, it's a gift for the encouragement and the edification, the building up of the church. But here's the thing. Sometimes, just like preaching or teaching, just like we see in Acts, the disciples around them, their emotions got involved. They loved Paul. They didn't want to see Paul be in prison, see him be tied up and led captive. And so out of their emotions, they misread what the Spirit was saying. But the Word of God, the apostle, brought clarity to it. as well to what was actually being said. And so in every prophetic word that's given, that's received, there's a moment where we have to stop and say, okay, God is speaking to me here. I'm receiving this. I'm not reading it with contempt. What is he saying? I need to receive that. And there's some parts of this probably where our flesh gets involved sometimes. And I need to sift that and weigh that out and hold on to what is good and let the rest of it fall away. A number of years ago, Jen and I, we were here as before. Before I was pastoring, and we had two godly men praying over the two of us. And one was older, one was younger. They were both older than us, but one was older, one was younger. And they began to pray over us and began to minister prophetic words to us. And one we knew a little bit better and had a very strong prophetic gifting. And he starts prophesying over us. And in our spirits, I'm just like, both of us were like, it wasn't anything sinful, it wasn't anything bad. It just didn't resonate with our hearts. The younger guy began to prophesy, and all of a sudden, boom, man, it just pierced our hearts. We began weeping. We're like, oh, God, you're here. You're speaking to me. Oh, my word. Thank you, God. And then he stopped, and the older one came back and began to prophesy again, and boom, again, it hit us. We're like, oh, God, thank you. You're ministering your word to us. Thank you. And then the second one came back to prophesy again, and this time it just sort of fell flat. And we were so confused. We're like, how could both of them be on and off at the same time? But we had to sift. And so we took these words to our pastor, Brian McRae. We trusted him. We just said, here's what was said. Here's we totally agree with. Here, we're not so sure. Help us sift this. Help us weigh out. Help us to, is there anything that we're not seeing, anything we're being resistant to? We want to be open to the word of the Lord. We want to be humble to receive. If there's correction that we need, let us hear it. But there is a sifting, there is a weighing out, because this gift of prophecy was meant to strengthen and encourage and build us up. And we wanted the fullness of that gifting in operation. So the gift of prophecy does not carry the same authority as the Old Testament prophet. In fact, Paul instructs us to sift and judge prophetic utterance. Okay. So what is the gift of prophecy? Wayne Grudem says prophecy is spontaneously sharing something God has brought to mind. This is my own thing, but prophecy, it's hearing from the Spirit, then as he leads, sharing what he said. Most of us can maybe relate to a moment where we felt prompted by the Holy Spirit for something. I've heard stories of people saying, you know, I woke up and this person was on my mind. I thought I should call them. I thought, no, I'm busy. They're busy. But that name and their face just kept coming to mind. It was just call them. Finally, they made the call, and it turns out they just stepped right into the middle of a moment where they could serve and minister. The Holy Spirit was speaking something, was prompting something to them to do something about that. Maybe sometimes you've been in a conversation, a friend who's working through something or wrestling with something, and all of a sudden a scripture that you haven't even been reading in your quiet time, the pastor hasn't been preaching about it, you haven't even thought about it for months, maybe years, but suddenly it's quickened to your mind, and before you can even think about it, it comes out of your mouth, and the person's like, oh my goodness, where did that come from? The Holy Spirit is quickening these things to our hearts and reminding them of it. Or maybe there's a dilemma and all of a sudden it's just plain as day, wisdom just comes to you and you speak it out and it just brings clarity to a moment. We all have these moments that we said, wow, the Holy Spirit really did something there. He spoke. But prophecy is just, it's hearing what God has said, but it becomes prophecy when we begin to share what we're hearing. Which is really amazing, because sometimes we look around and we see the mess in the church, we see the mess with other people, but God has given his Spirit and the gift of prophecy into broken people like you and I to actually speak life and speak healing and speak revelation and speak instruction and speak wisdom. Sometimes we're too busy complaining to actually hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, to actually partner with him and speak what he's saying. And so in that regards, the burdens, the problems of the church actually somewhat fall on us, because he's given the gifts to edify, to build up, to equip, to bring into maturity, to bring into the fullness of Christ. And he wants to use the gift of prophecy to do this. He wants to use you. He wants to use Spirit-filled, Spirit-led people. I was listening. I've shared this story several times before, but I always find it humorous. But I was listening to a radio preacher one time, And he was preaching on something else, so it kept my attention. But he goes into the story about the prophet Agabus. But then he pauses for a moment to bring clarification to his church. He said, now this was just a gift for the early church. It's done away with now. We have the whole counsel of God. We have the full scripture. And then he just goes on. And like I said, I was listening to it for another point that he was making, so I just let it roll off my back. But within the same breath, he starts to tell this story. He goes, there's a point in our ministry where we reached a crossroads. We didn't know what to do. So we prayed. And we felt like the Lord was leading us into this direction. And I just started laughing, like, oh, that's what we call the gift of prophecy. It's really just that simple, because the Holy Spirit's a person. He's relational. And this idea of these giftings, especially prophecy, the relational dynamic just surpasses all of our theological systems, because it's relational. It's hearing, it's listening, and then sharing what you've heard with those around us so that they can be built up, so they can be made mature, so they can come into the fullness of Christ, so that they might be equipped. That's the amazing thing sometimes about when we hear the things like, I heard a well-known Bible teacher one time says, you know what, the gifts, yeah, they're there, but they're kind of messy, so I kind of just avoid them. I'm like, avoid them? I mean, Paul had a mess unlike any we can imagine, but he said, I want you to be informed. And the gifts to do all these things of edifying, building us up, bringing us into the fullness of Christ, bringing us into maturity, equipping the saints. We don't need to avoid them. They're not divisive. They serve the body. They bring the body into the fullness of everything the Holy Spirit's trying to do. And that's the cool thing, is he wants to bring us all into part with him. So, what's the goal of prophecy? From 1 Corinthians 14, right? Pursue love. You know, we oftentimes break those chapters in 1 Corinthians up, right? 12 is if we want to preach on unity. 13 we preach at weddings. And 14 we preach if we want to shut down tongues. But it's one continuous thought. You're a body. There's many parts and many members, and each of you are to serve one another. You won't get there unless you know love. You're gonna give gifts a bad name unless you know love. Until you are loving with your gift, loving with prophesying, loving with tongues, loving with interpretation, loving with administration, loving with help, loving with miracles, loving with faith. You know what? It's either that or self-promotion. It's either that or manipulation. But the gifts have to have their foundation in love. Otherwise, you know what? Banging gong, clanging cymbal, noise. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. We'll get back to that in a little bit, especially that you might prophesy. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who prophesies builds up the church. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets, though that the church may be built up. This is God's gift to the church. This is the goal of what he's after. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send you the Spirit. Because guess what? It's not up to you to build up the church in your own strength. He's given you a gift, the gift of prophecy, to build up the church, to edify the church, to comfort the church, to serve the church into maturity, the fullness of Christ, to be fully equipped. So unfortunate that Hollywood has hijacked the idea of prophecy, as we think, you know, they're in a meeting and suddenly there's a breeze and the back doors fly open and there's some old guy with a cloak and a staff. No, prophecy, it's just love. It's the overflow of God's love for his church to edify, to build up, to encourage, to console, to lead into maturity. So who can prophesy? If prophecy is first hearing, then anyone who can hear can share. And who can hear? Jesus said this in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. That's your only qualification. Sheep are pretty stupid. They're blind and defenseless, so you don't even need to be smart. You don't need to have it all together. Be able to listen. Can you hear? A.W. Tozer said, the word of the Lord is always going forth. The question isn't, is he speaking, but are we listening? And this is why when we come into seasons of, corporately at times of fasting and prayer, we encourage people, turn off the entertainment, turn off the noise, get off of social media, quiet your life. He's speaking. And he's desires that we hear. That's our place as sheep. And sometimes we're so frantic, chasing after all the distractions, so consumed with whatever's going on in the world, whatever the issue is at the moment, that we stop listening. Our lives become so filled with noise, we can't hear him. I love this story from my kids, but one of them was real little. And I'm sorry if you have Bratz dolls, but we couldn't stand them. Like, we never bought one. We just look at them. I mean, just they're nasty little creatures. Anyway. Amen. Yeah, that may have been the spirit, maybe not. See what I'm talking about? You got to sift sometimes. But somebody gave our daughter a Bratz doll at a birthday right in front of us. So we just didn't say a word. And we're on the ride home, and my daughter goes, "I don't think I like this doll." We're like, "Well, what do you think you should do?" This is just a profound moment of divine wisdom on us parents. We didn't say anything. We said, "Well, what do you think you should do about it?" She's like, "I don't know." And we said, "Well, I think you should ask Jesus what you should do about it." And this, even as these words are leaving my mouth, I'm like, "I hope this works." I said, "Do you know how to hear Jesus?" She said, "No." I said, "Listen, tonight you're going to go to bed, and while you're laying there, I want you to be real quiet, and I want you to say, 'Jesus, what should I do about this Bratz doll?'" And we left it alone. I said, "You're going to do that?" "Yeah, okay." The next morning she got up, she said, "Jesus said I need to throw it away. Put it in the trash. Hands off. You just need to be a sheep. You don't need to have all the intelligence. You don't need to have a theology degree. You just need to be a sheep. You just need to be listening." My wife tells a story about another daughter who she would try and explain something one way and try it another way and try another. Finally, she'd say, "You need to go talk to Jesus about how to figure this out." I don't know if that's cheating or not, but anyway, she came out with the problem solved. Right? You just need to be a sheep. You just need to be quiet enough to listen. Quiet enough to hear. How do I grow in the gift of prophecy? Well, first of all, as we read, earnestly desire, Paul said. Earnestly desire. If you're even asking that question, how do I grow in the gift of prophecy, you've taken the right first step. Like, I want to do this more. This sounds like something that I want to participate with the Holy Spirit in building up the church, seeing believers come into the maturity, seeing them come into the full measure of Christ. I want to do this. Like, that's a good thing. Like, it's better to be there than to have to be prodded into something, right? Paul even says at the end of 1 Corinthians, "Since you desire to use spiritual gifts, seek the ones that build up the church." He didn't try and shut down their desire. He didn't try and shut down gifts. He just redirected their passion, their desire into something that would be helpful and useful. Earnestly desire. You know, and earnestly desire completely flies in the face. Everybody ever hear, "Seek not, forbid not"? Anybody ever hear, seek the giver, not the gift? Paul says, earnestly desire. You have these statements made by man, and you have these statements from the Word of God. You can't do both. If we're going to err, let's err on the side of earnestly desiring. I would rather have God redirect us than try and have to prod us. I'd rather have him say, hold on, cowboy, rather than to say, do you want anything from me? Is there anything that you're burning to see happen? Is there any desire in your heart for my work and my power in your life? Earnestly desire, which means it's not just, "Okay, God, I'm open. If you want to give me the gift of prophecy, here I am." No, okay. Earnestly desire means we pursue this thing. We press into this thing. We say, "God, I desire that your church be mature. I desire to see the fullness of the measure of Christ on your people. God, I desire to see them equipped for works of ministry. God, I desire to see them come into unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. I desire to see them come into the unity of the faith. Give me prophecy. Open my mouth. Let me speak your words. Share with me what's burning on your heart. I earnestly desire. It's okay to feel that. It's okay to pray that. Paul commands us. He instructs us. Earnestly desire. So I earnestly desire. By the way, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So you can seek his face and his hand. And Jesus is enlarged because of the gift of prophecy. So we pray. Mike Bickle, he breaks it down real simple. He says, you know, it's really no more complicated than this. You can do this anywhere, at any time, but the context of Paul here in 1 Corinthians is in the gathering. So when you come here on a Sunday morning, when you're meeting a friend for coffee, when you're in line at the bank, when you're in a waiting room, at the service station, Holy Spirit, let me see what you see. Holy Spirit, let me feel what you feel. Maybe you get nothing. Maybe you get something. Holy Spirit, would you just highlight somebody to me? Open my eyes. Open my ears. You've got something for this people here. As you come into our time together on a Sunday morning, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? What are you seeing? What do you feel right now? Would you share it with me so I can encourage these people? I heard one pastor say one time, he says, you know, the gift of prophecy, it's for encouraging. Start with encouragement. I've been in the process in the last few years just praying, God, would you be a guard over my mouth? Would you help me to control my tongue? James says, if you can control the tongue, the whole body is controlled. So I've just been asking God right there, control that. But not only that, but God, would you help me to speak only what is useful for building others up? Lord, I want my words to match your words. I want the words that I speak to be full of life and peace and healing and truth. How can I encourage somebody? If I'm going to meet somebody for coffee or just to get together, just to hang out with them, God, would you give me an encouraging word for them? Would you give me a scripture? Would you anoint my tongue to speak encouragement to them? You know what the powerful thing about that is it gets our eyes off of ourselves. And I actually have to look and see other people. I'm not talking about I like your shirt or you did a great job with the song. Those things are great, but encouraging them in Christ. And God's really using you in this. I've really seen you grow in this. Lord has great things for you in this. He wants to do wonderful things, right? And encouraging them to go further in God. Just start with encouragement. Just start there because it gets you moving in love. It gets you moving in edification and building others up and spurring them on into maturity in Christ. Just start there. You don't need any divine vision. You don't need to be taken up in the third heaven. You don't need to say, thus saith the Lord. Just encourage them. Start with Scripture. Sometimes that's the easiest thing. That's usually how it works with me. My wife, she'll be in the middle of worship. I don't know how this works for her, but suddenly Scripture comes to her and she shares. But for me, if I'm praying for somebody, I lay my hands on them, I'll get a Scripture first and I begin to pray the Scripture, and out of that Scripture more comes of God's heart. But just start with Scripture. Worst case scenario, the Scripture doesn't mean anything to that person, but you spoke the Word of God to them and it's going to do a work. Or maybe that'll be just the Scripture they need to hear. But just start with there. Lord, would you give me an encouraging Scripture to share with this person? As you're ministering prophecy, pay attention to images that you might get or pictures in your mind. Because sometimes the Lord likes to speak to that. You don't have to interpret it. You don't have to bring your agenda. You don't have to direct this person. That's not your job. You're just the conduit. You're just the intermediary. This is the picture I'm getting. I'm sharing it and what the sense that I'm getting over it. Done. My job here is done. I did exactly what the Spirit led me to do. The words, the picture, the image that He gave me. I'm done. Right? We don't carry the burden to fix anybody, but the Spirit does the work through us with these words of encouragement and edification. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you dreams. Make it your practice. You know, if you've got 6-7 hours of sleep each night, before you go to bed, just say, Holy Spirit, I'm yours. I've got no distractions for the next 6-7 hours. Speak. Give me dreams. Fill me. Do a work. And if you're unsure, you're like, that dream was just weird, but maybe it was from the Lord. You know, gather some trusted friends around you and just pray into it. God, are you saying something? Gather some friends around you who are going to tell you, yeah, that's really off the wall. Or are they going to tell you that's from the Lord? Start in small settings. Right? It doesn't have to be this, just because you get, you know, we're not looking for an international prophetic ministry. But with coffee with a friend in small group settings, you know, at the end of the service, we're going to pray for people. It's a great opportunity. Just as we go to different people who need prayer, Holy Spirit, would you give me a scripture? Would you give me a picture? Would you give me a word to speak to them that will encourage them and strengthen them, that will build them in their faith? It's not complicated. It's not weird or mystical. It's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in his people, and not only that, but through his people. And it's just, Holy Spirit, I'm available. I want to be used like this. Use my words. The power of life and death is held in the tongue. Use my word. Bring life to this people. We get out the worship team. Come forward. Let me just close with this. You'll see this if you've been with us for any length of time. I just want to bring some clarification for what happens. But on Sunday mornings, in a large gathering like this, but if your eyes aren't on the Lord or on the screen, sometimes you'll see Jen with her Bible leaning over to me. And usually what we just ask is that if you feel a prompting, if you get a scripture or a picture, or feel like the Lord wants to say something to us, man, we welcome it. We love it. We're praying that God would do this more in our midst. But here's just how we do it. I think every church body does it a little bit differently. Here's just how we are, is that God has placed government over the body for the body's protection. And so you have two pastors here, myself and Tim, and we encourage you, just as you feel that or hear those words, to come and just talk to Tim and I real quick, and we will work you in so that you can use the microphone and share with the body. Now, let me be real clear. That's not Tim or I deciding, yes, you heard from the Lord, no, you didn't, right? There's a number of reasons for that. One is, yes, it does keep crazy out, right? Because if we hear something a little nutty, we're like, no, we're not gonna do that. Let me give you an example. What I mean is, one Sunday, I wasn't pastoring. I was still just the worship leader, but somebody else was leading worship. And his wife was here in the front row, and her mother-in-law was behind her. And the mother-in-law says, "Get the microphone." Which, of course, who's gonna say no to their mother-in-law, right? And so the daughter-in-law comes up, gives it back here. And in the break of a song, suddenly we hear this woman's voice come over the speaker, right? So everybody, first of all, it's distracting because everybody's trying to figure out where this voice is coming from. But then all of a sudden, she starts talking about how she's been reading through a book of the Bible, and she's read through it 10 times and has gotten to the 10th level of understanding. And she hopes to read through it another number of times so she can reach this level of understanding. And most of you right now are saying, "What?" Which we were all as well. The problem isn't prophecy. The problem is that there is government in place to protect from just the weird stuff like that, the foolishness that just wasn't helpful or edifying, building up. And so we just ask you just to come forward, just talk to Tim, talk to myself, and we will work you in 9.9 times of the 10. We're going to, yeah, go ahead. But we're just mostly what we're listening for. Is this the right timing for it? Is this what the Holy Spirit's doing in the moment? You know, if we're singing songs of celebration and everybody's moving in agreement with that, now's not the time for a word of repentance, right? The Holy Spirit's doing something right now in this moment, and we're going to continue to flow and move from that. So what we're not saying is you don't have the gift of prophecy, or you're off, or you're wrong. It's just like, let's wait on that, because we want to give the Holy Spirit freedom to do what he wants to do here first. And we're just going to say, let's just hang on to that. Sometimes Jen will bring me a word and I'm like, hang on, let's just see what happens. And then just in the next progression of the song or whatever, I realize, oh yeah, she's on, there it is, let's go. One time we were in the middle of worship on a worship night, and it was the presence of God was just manifested just in a powerful way. Everybody was in the room on their faces, and somebody came up and said, "I just want to pray for my granny's neighbor's dog," which I'm sure that was the will of the Lord. I'm sure God cares about their granny's neighbor's dog, but in that moment, God was doing something where we needed to look at his throne. God was doing something where we just needed to listen and rest with him and move with that. And so this governmental structure here just keeps us on track and keeps us moving with the Spirit. And sometimes we get it wrong, but hey, we're all walking in humility together, trying to hear and follow the Holy Spirit in this thing. And so Jack Hayford writes this. He goes, prophetic words can be doctrinally correct, yet out of place because they're ill-timed or they are words of the individual rather than the entire group. So that's the reason why we have this structure on Sunday mornings, is because we're in a corporate place, the Holy Spirit's doing something, and Tim and I would take that job, that role, very seriously. It's a challenge to just hear and feel what the Holy Spirit's doing in light of these words that are coming, but we welcome them. Like I said, more times than not, we're going to say, yeah, go ahead. But those are just some of the questions and workings that are going on in our mind for the protection of the body to let us enjoy the most out of our time in the presence of the Holy Spirit. But here's the takeaway for today. The gift of prophecy is for the building up of the body. It's to be desired. And all of us can prophesy. All of us can hear, and all of us can share, and all of us can partner with the Holy Spirit in building up the church. So let's stand together.